From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a local and statewide news update. Geologists say a spruce tree may have triggered the destructive urban landslide that destroyed homes in Juneau this September. Local naturalists say there's more to the tree than how it died. KTOO has its story. The tree fell in a storm and slid more than 600 feet down the shoulder of Mount Roberts before crashing through a few houses and taking out a power line. It knocked one home off its foundation, flipped a pickup, and triggered an evacuation alert for the neighborhood. The slide was over in a few seconds, but when Juneau naturalist Steve Murley looks at the slice of the tree, called a cookie, he sees a much longer story.
That's a calendar.
Murley and naturalist Richard Karstensen have the cookie in Murley's woodshed, fittingly. The tree's rings tell us it was likely older than the United States. It sprouted and took root on the steep mountainside during the Little Ice Age, sometime in the 1700s. That's back when Okhotsk, the Mendenhall Glacier, extended about 5 more miles, and the Gastineau Channel was choked with icebergs. But the rings show a lot more than the tree's age. Karstensen points to one side of the oblong cookie.
The first thing we noticed was, if this is the center, that the rings are way bigger here. And a conifer tree,
that space,
on a steep hill is almost always leaning out, like in this case toward the channel. And when they lean, they over time get thicker rings on the lower side.
The rings tell us the tree lived on a steep slope and also tell us a little about its life there. There's a dark spot in the trunk where a rock likely bashed the tree. According to the rings, it took almost 3 decades to fully heal. It's not the only evidence of abuse either. The rings knit around other dark spots, all on the uphill side of the tree. But Karstensen says old trees like this one can actually thrive on Juneau's steep slopes.
This is what people call the Barron's Path.
This is a known avalanche path behind a Juneau neighborhood. The little trees are a giveaway, mostly alders and low brush. But Karstensen points out a huge spruce.
I call this the brave outlier because it sits out and right in the firing line. And I'm guessing it's at least 300 years old.
The spruce is really thick. Karstensen calls it refuge diameter. In other words, there's safety in its girth. There aren't many other trees around it because anything too much smaller gets toppled or buried in snow in regular avalanches.
And you walk over it and you go, how did this thing survive?
He says there are even more trees like this up high. It turns out big trees can do well on steep hillsides, especially in the rocky soil around Juneau that's coarser than soil in a valley and full of boulders.
And that's optimum for rooting strength. Those tree roots get to go way down.
Karstensen says the deep water table on a very steep hillside also helps because trees will send their roots down further. He points out a hemlock that would be inconspicuous if there wasn't a huge bald eagle nest in its crown.
See the nest?
It's about 5 feet thick at the base. Karstensen says it's easily 1,000 years old.
If we were to core that hemlock, I can guarantee you that the outer foot would have 300 rings.
It's thrived for a millennium at the bottom of a slide path. The spruce that came down on Gastineau Avenue is a fraction of that age. By Karstensen's measure, it died in its prime. Trees like that one can live to easily 800 years. There's no definitive answer to what took it down. It could have been high winds or saturated soil that gave way. The base of the trunk was rotten, according to city officials. Most of the tree was hauled to the dump, but what's left rests not far from where it sprouted, between the now mangled houses on Gastineau Avenue. Molly of Denali has been nominated for 2 Children's and Family Emmy Awards. Vera Starbird is one of the show's writers. She says that Molly of Denali is special to her because of its role in informing young people about what it means to be Alaska Native.
We're dealing with racism. We're dealing with identity. We're dealing with really serious Alaska Native issues. But in the context of educating small children, there's just an inherently fun thing about that.
Starbird said she often would think of Molly Denali as a show about Alaska for Alaskans, but the Emmy nomination makes her think more about how people outside the state value the show.
Alaskans in general kind of do that to themselves. You know, like we we love what we put out there into the world, but we don't think anyone else will take it as seriously or care about it. And this shows people will. People do.
Frank Henry Kosh-Katas is another writer for the show who is listed on the Emmy nomination. Writing for a children's show means he can help create representation that he didn't have as a kid.
When I was little, I thought the Ultimate Warrior, the professional wrestler, was a Native guy because I just didn't have any representation that I knew of in the media. Turns out he's like Italian from New Jersey, but that, like, when I was little, I was like, that guy is Tlinkit. You know, when I was a little kid, I was like, he's a Tlinkit. He wasn't. But, you know, we were dead. I was grasping at straws at that point.
Now Katas points to shows like Spirit Rangers and Reservation Dogs that give young Indigenous people a view of themselves on television. This is the first year of the Children's and Family Emmys. The nominations were announced in early November, and the winners will be announced next month. The pandemic more than doubled the number of patrons at Juno's main food bank. And even after nearly 3 years, that spike hasn't waned. Claudia, Chris, and a friend are picking out some dairy from one of the food-laden carts in front of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank warehouse.
Cheese, 2% low fat.
Okay. Chris is part of a long but fast-moving line. The pandemic more than doubled the food bank's patrons.
And I really appreciate being able to get it because we're all squeezed with fixed income, so I'm 71 and I'm happy to get it.
Ken Garrison is picking up food for some elderly friends who don't have cars. He comes in twice a week.
So, and there's a ton of this today.
He picks up some candy corn left over from Halloween, but puts it back.
Ken, you need a pet food today?
Yeah, I'll take, a dog food.
Just dog food?
Yeah, sure, thanks.
That's Chris Schaap, offering dog food, a popular item. He's run the food bank for the last 3 years. He says when he started, the bank would serve up to 90 people a week.
Over the last 2 years with COVID, it's been between 225, 275 a week.
The number hasn't gone down. When another food pantry began closing its doors this month, the number bumped up a little more.
And then just last week, we noticed with Helping Hands closing down, we were about 35 to 40 people more than we've been averaging, almost 300.
He says inflation is likely a factor in the demand. The food bank has been open fewer than 20 minutes. Chef checks his count. They served more than 100 people.
So it's busy and we'll take care of everybody we need to. Just make it happen.
The food bank is hosting its annual Caring is Sharing food drive this Saturday. Last year, Juno donated more than 20,000 pounds of food. Chef says he's hoping for even more this year to match the need. Alaska's two U.S. senators voted Wednesday in favor of ending debate on a bill to protect same-sex marriage and interracial marriage rights, advancing the bill toward final passage. The Alaska Beacon reports Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan joined 10 other Republicans and all 50 Democrats on a vote needed to end the debate. Final passage is highly likely. If signed into law, the bill would not have significant immediate effect. Same-sex marriage rights were guaranteed by the U.S. Supreme Court in a 2015 decision. But earlier this year, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas wrote that the court should re-examine that decision. If the bill becomes law and the Supreme Court reverses its 2015 decision, states would be allowed to choose whether to ban same-sex marriage, but they would be required to recognize same-sex marriages from other states and those performed in their states when the practice was legal. In Alaska, the state constitution still contains an amendment prohibiting same-sex marriage. That amendment has been legally suspended since 2014, but could be reactivated if the Supreme Court reverses itself. To garner enough votes from Republicans for the Senate bill, supporters added provisions that say religious organizations are not required to host, accommodate, or participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. Spokesperson for Senator Sullivan said that component was the result of research by his staff, and its inclusion was key. In a written statement, Sullivan said that he continues to believe the bill is unnecessary because of the Supreme Court's 2015 decision, but believes the religion-related provisions are worth supporting. And a correction. In an interview about how Juno voted that aired on Wednesday and yesterday, the Alaska House District 3 community of Klukwan was misidentified as Klowak. We regret the error. It's 32 degrees in Juno, with a slight chance of snow in the evening. Rain is in the forecast for the weekend and into next week.